Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, is doomsday right around the corner?
Well, there's something called the doomsday clock, and it's maintained by the Science and Security Board of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And it's been moved closer to midnight, signaling that the end of the world is closer. I want to read a report about it from CBS. Quote, doomsday clock moves to 85 seconds to midnight, closest point to catastrophe since its debut. The doomsday clock, a metaphor of how close humanity is to self-annihilation, was moved to 85 seconds to midnight on Tuesday, its closest point to catastrophe since the clock made its debut nearly 80 years ago. The president of that organization said, humanity has not made sufficient progress on the existential risks that endanger us all. And the risks humanity faces, they say, from nuclear weapons, climate change, and disruptive technologies are growing. Every second counts, and we're running out of time. Now Michael Snyder also wrote about this. He says that the people in the United States, 342 million, they want to live to a ripe old age. But as the world teeters on the brink of the unthinkable, scientists have just moved the doomsday clock closer to midnight than ever before. When this year's announcement was made, the scientists responsible for the doomsday clock specifically mentioned the United States, Russia, and China. At this moment, the 342 million people that are living in this nation are working hard and trying to enjoy life. But the truth is that the unthinkable is right around the corner and the clock is ticking, end quote.
I suppose living to a ripe old age is relative and depends on where you are living. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't believe that most Americans will, quote, live to a ripe old age. The Great Tribulation Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 is coming, and the United States itself is going to be defeated and conquered. For passages in the book of Daniel, the book of Habakkuk, and the book of Isaiah. Now, this doomsday clock move is perhaps their warning to or about Donald Trump, who spoke in terms at the World Economic Forum last week that the globalists don't like. So I want to read something about that. This comes out of France. Quote, doomsday clock moves closer to midnight a year into Trump's term. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists set their doomsday clock, representing how near humanity is to catastrophe, closer than ever to midnight on Tuesday, citing accelerating winner-takes-all global competition and weakening nuclear reduction commitments. Board members also voiced alarm over President Donald Trump. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists set this clock up at the start of the Cold War. They moved it closer than it was a year ago. This announcement comes a year into President Donald Trump's second term, in which he shattered norms, ordering unilateral attacks abroad, deploying force at home in defiance of local authorities, and withdrawing from a slew of international organizations. Russia, China, and the United States and other major countries have, quote, become increasingly aggressive, adversarial, and nationalistic, said the statement announcing the clock shift. Trump has threatened to resume nuclear testing and is pushing a costly global dome missile defense system that would further militarize space. Now, as far as this doomsday clock itself goes, back in 1984, the late pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, he wrote about it when it was moved to 3 minutes before midnight. So here's what he wrote about all this. He says, I'm writing from Australia, but wherever I am, it's needful to keep in touch with fast-moving world conditions. We all live in the same world, and the atomic scientists have now moved the doomsday clock one more minute forward, from 4 to only 3 minutes to midnight. He says, now, not long ago, if anyone mentioned the end of the world, People would have assumed him to be a crackpot doomsday freak. But today, the sanest scientists and heads of nations are talking about doomsday and the end of the world. He says these sober men, they're not wild-eyed religious fanatics. They know what's actually happening. They know how the evils of this world are mounting. They know how the weapons of mass destruction have been produced that can now blast all human life into extinction. And these sober leaders are worried. One said, quote, "I'm frankly scared," end quote. They're bewildered, confused, and perplexed. They see no way to stop what seems to be the inevitable. This is because they don't see God in their thinking. They know not what God says about it. That's what Herb Armstrong said. And the reality is, yeah, there's many events in the world that are worrying scientists, and it's much worse than it was four decades ago. And of course, most scientists and leaders don't know, or they don't believe, that God has a plan.
Dr. Thiel, earlier you quoted these nuclear scientists as saying, concerns mount on nuclear weapons, climate change, and disinformation. Are they truly citing disinformation as a leading cause for the end of the world?
Not quite, although that is sort of part of it, because they want people to believe a certain agenda, and they don't like it when people say something different. But to a degree, changes in the doomsday clock have been, in my opinion, mainly meant to send a political as opposed to a scientific message. Now, the question is, are we closer to the end? And the answer is certainly.
Well, would you back that up for us from the Bible?
Well, consider that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, starting verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And this do, knowing the time, that it's now high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And we are certainly closer to the start of the great tribulation and then the return of Jesus than we've ever been before. So yes, every day we're closer to this and the establishment of the millennial kingdom of God, which will be preceded by a time which can be called the end.
Is this the end?
Well, Jesus listed various things in Matthew chapter 24. And he also said in verse 6, the end is not yet. There are specific events that are supposed to precede the event. So Jesus was asked about the end. So I'm going to go to Matthew 24 and pick this up starting in verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? Will it be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?'" This age, the age. Verse 4. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will say, I'm the Christ, and they'll deceive many. But you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows."
When Jesus says, "Take heed that no one deceives you," is he referring to disinformation?
Well, I guess you could call it that. Look, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read a few verses from the Apostle Paul, starting in verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be," let's go down to verse 7, "always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth," verse 13. "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, currently, we seem to be in the time Jesus called the beginning of sorrows. And while that is close to the end's not yet. Now, what happens afterwards? Well, continuing in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 9, Jesus warns, "They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, that part hasn't happened. Okay. The time of persecution is coming, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness. Once God believes that has happened to the degree he intended, notice that is when the end comes.
After the gospel is preached, what happens next?
Well, there's some other specific signs that precede the start of the Great Tribulation. If you're still in Matthew 24, I'm going to start in verse 15. So Jesus says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, which shows the Sabbath still being kept. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. While international tensions and environmental matters are consistent with the beginning of sorrows, there are specific signs that Jesus said Christians are supposed to see before the end actually comes. And those people who put the doomsday clock together, they don't realize that. Now, Jesus said, however, for his disciples and his followers that they should watch so they know when the end would be, as well as be able to escape what's coming. Now, we've been in Matthew 24. A lot of the same things are talked about in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. So Jesus goes and lists several things, or in Luke's account, lists the same basic things Jesus was talking about. Now, if you go to Luke 24 and you go to Luke 21, and you go to verse 34, because if you go to the wrong chapter, it's not there, obviously. But anyway, Luke 21, verse 34, Jesus said, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that the day should come upon you unexpectedly. So a lot of people say, it's been like nearly 2,000 years, whatever. People always thought it was going to happen. But we're supposed to watch, because most people won't get it. Verse 35, Jesus says, for it's going to come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. They're going to say, people talk about this forever. It's not coming. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Which, by the way, you're not supposed to pray that you be protected. Supposed to watch, you may be counted worthy, so you'll change, be counted worthy. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that what's called the end of the world is going to come. And it also lists specific events Christians should look for, which will show us how close, the end actually is. The Bible also clearly teaches that those who properly watch, pray, and live their lives as Jesus wants them to, can be protected, by the way, from the coming tribulation, according to Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13, Revelation 12, verses 14 to 17, if they are Philadelphian Christians.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.